This program comes to you by electrical transcription. The Treasury Star Parade. With Frederick March, Laird Krigar, and Al Goodman and his chorus and orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, 3 years ago, you may remember having read one of the most powerfully and beautifully written stories yet to appear about that condition of life which exists in Germany today. Cressman Taylor's Address Unknown. It is a series of dramatic letters written between Max Eisenstein, an American art dealer living in San Francisco, and Martin Schutz, his friend and business partner who has returned to Germany. It begins simply with a letter carrying the heading of Schutz Eisenstein Galleries, San Francisco, California, dated
November 12, 1932,
and addressed to Herr Martin Schutz, Munich, Germany.
My dear Martin, back in Germany. My dear old friend, how I envy you. Although I have not seen it since my school days, the spell of Unter den Linden is still strong upon me. The discussions, the music, the light-hearted comradeship. Of course you are right to go back. You never became American despite your success here. And now that the business is so well established, you and Elsa must take your boys back to the homeland to be educated. The art business continues to go well. A delightful letter came yesterday from Grisel. She has the lead in a new play in Vienna, and the notices are excellent. I have not yet written her that you are in Europe, but I know she would be glad to feel that friends are not far away. With the most affectionate remembrances to Elsa and the boys, believe me, your ever most faithful, Max.
Munich, Germany, December 10th, 1932.
Max, dear old fellow, the checks and accounts came through promptly, for which my thanks. You write of Grisel. So she wins her success, the lovely one. You must urge her to make contact with us. Elsa will welcome your sister as she would welcome you. Elsa asks also that I send you her love, and Heinrich would also say hello to Uncle Max. We do not forget you, Maxel. My heartiest greetings to you, Martin.
San Francisco, January 21st, 1933.
My dear Martin, I was glad to forward your address to Grisel. What jollification there will be when she sees you all. And I, too, shall be with you in spirit. The oils you sent for the gallery are excellent, and the prices are amazing. I shall dispose of them at an appalling profit almost at once. Who is this Adolf Hitler who seems rising toward power in Germany? I do not like what I read of him. Embrace all the young Fry and our abundant Elsa for your ever affectionate Max.
March 25th, 1933.
Dear old Max, you have heard of the new events in Germany. I tell you truly, Max, I think in many ways Hitler is good for Germany. But I am not sure. The man is like an electric shock. Strong as only a great orator and zealot can be. But I ask myself, is he quite sane? His brown shirt troops are of the rabble. They pillage and have started a bad Jew baiting. But these may be minor things. The little surface scum when a big movement boils up. For I tell you, my friend, there is a surge. A surge. The people everywhere have had a quickening. The old despair has been thrown aside like a forgotten coat. A leader is found. Yet, cautiously to myself, I ask, a leader to where?
San Francisco, May 18th, 1933.
Dear Martin, I am in distress at the reports that come pouring in to us from the fatherland, picturing a terrible pogrom, and I turn to you for light. Write me, my friend, and set my mind at ease. Grizel's play will close in June after a great success. She has a very fine offer in Berlin for the autumn, but I have written her to wait until the anti-Jewish feeling has abated. Forgive me for so distrait a letter, but I cannot rest until you have reassured me. Max.
Deutscher Völkischer Bank, Munich, Germany, July 9th, 1933.
Dear Max, you see that I write upon the stationery of my bank. This is necessary because I have a request to make, and I wish to avoid the new censorship, which is most strict. We must, for the present, discontinue writing. If a communication becomes necessary, you must enclose it with a bank draft and not write to me at my home. As for the stern measures that so distress you, I myself did not like them at first, but I have come to see their painful necessity. This Jew trouble is only an incident. Something bigger is happening. If I could show you, if I could make you see, the rebirth of this new Germany under our gentle leader. Now we are free men. We purge our bloodstream of its baser elements, rise in our might, and hold our heads up before nations. But no, I am sure you will not see how necessary is all this for Germany. You will be a Jew first and wail for your people. This is the Semitic character. I regret our correspondence must close this way, Max. Perhaps we can someday meet again on a field of better understanding.
San Francisco, November 5th, 1933.
Dear Martin, I write again because I must. A black foreboding possesses me. I wrote Grizel in Berlin and she answered briefly. The child is rash and does not realize what a chance she is taking. My second letter has been returned to me, marked only Adressat Unbekannt. Adressee unknown. What a darkness these words carry. How can she be unknown? It is surely a message that she has come to harm. They know what has happened to her, those stamp letters say, but I am not to know. This they tell me in two words. Adressat Unbekannt. You are an official. For all friendship's sake, I beg of you, watch over her. I leave her in your hands, for I am helpless. Max.
Deutsche Völkische Bank, Munich, December 8th, 1933.
Dear Max. Heil Hitler. I much regret that I have bad news for you. Your sister is dead. Unfortunately, she was, as you have said, very much of a fool. She was jeered from the stage in Berlin, but escaped. Not quite a week ago, she came here with a bunch of stormtroopers almost right behind her. By luck, I answer the door. At first, I think it is an old woman. And then I see the face. And then I see the stormtroopers have turned in the park gates. Can I hide her? It is one chance in thousands. Can I risk being arrested for harboring a Jew and lose all I have built up here? You will destroy us all, Grizel, I tell her. You must run back further in the park. She looks at me and smiles. She always was a brave girl and makes her own choice. I would not bring you harm, Martin, she says. And she runs toward the trees. But she must be tired. She does not run very fast and the stormtroopers catch her. I go in the house, and in a few minutes she stops screaming. And in the morning, I have the body sent away for burial. She was a fool to come to Germany. Poor little Grizel. I grieve with you, but as you see, I was helpless to aid her. I must now demand you do not write again. I cannot tell how soon they may start to open the mail to the bank. It is not so good for me that a Jewess came here for refuge, and no further association can be tolerated. A new Germany is being shaped here. We will soon show the world great things under our glorious leader, Heil Hitler, Martin.
January 2nd, 1934.
Take a cablegram, please. To Martin Schulz, Munich, Germany. Your terms accepted. Pan exhibition May 1st. Prepare leave for Moscow if market opens unexpectedly. Financial instructions, mail your new address. Eisenstein.
Also dated January 2nd, 1934.
Oh, dear Martin, don't forget Grandma's birthday. She will be 64 on the 8th. American contributors will furnish 100 brushes for your German Young Painters League. Mandelberg has joined in supporting the league. You must send 11 Picasso reproductions 20 by 90 to branch galleries on the 25th, no sooner. Reds and blues must predominate. We can allow you $8,000 on this transaction. Our prayers follow you daily, dear brother. Eisenstein.
Munich, January 12th, 1934.
Max, my old friend. My God, Max, do you know what you do? I shall try to smuggle this letter out with an American. I write an appeal from a despair you cannot imagine. This crazy cable, these letters you have sent. I am called in to account for them, and they demand I give them the code. A code? How can you, a friend of long years, do this to me? Yes, yes, I know why you do it. But do you not understand? I could do nothing. What could I have done? I did not dare to try. I beg of you, not for myself, but for Elsa and the boys. Think what it means to them if I am taken away and they do not know if I live or die. Do you know what it is to be taken to a concentration camp? I beg of you, stop. I am in fear for my life, for my life.
Our dear Martin, the shipment of 1,500 brushes should reach the Berlin branch for your painters by this weekend. This will allow time for practice before the big exhibition. American patrons will help with all the supplies. Young Bloom left last Friday with the Picasso specifications. He will leave the oils in Hamburg and Leipzig and will then place himself at your disposal. We leave all final plans to your discretion, but urge an early date for wholly successful exhibit. The God of Moses be at your right hand, Eisenstein.
Returned to the United States Post Office, a letter addressed to Herr Martin Schulz, Munich, Germany, from Eisenstein Galleries, San Francisco, postmarked March 3, 1934, opened by the German censor and returned marked address unknown.
Now, here's a thought for today. In Omaha, one Saturday night, a few weeks ago, Vice President Wallace quoted from the diary of Martin Treptow, who fell at Chateau Thierry in 1918, quote, America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost, as if the whole struggle depended upon me alone, unquote. Buy United States savings bonds and stamps. That is one of the true patriot's jobs today. And underline those words, on me alone. Let each one do his share. Buy United States savings bonds and stamps regularly. Get the habit. Budget part of your income every week. Join the Treasury payroll savings plan wherever you work. United States savings bonds and stamps are your way of investing in America. It's your country. Keep it yours. The United States Treasury Department thanks the distinguished artists who donated their talents to this performance. Frederick March, Laird Gregar, and Mrs. Cressman Taylor for the use of her material, Address Unknown. Orchestra and chorus were under the direction of Al Goodman. Writing by Hal Block, John Natouche, and Malcolm Meacham. Production by William A. Bacher. This program was transcribed. This is Larry Elliott speaking.